Poppy's War, written by Lily Baxter, read by Penelope Freeman. The moral right of the author has been asserted. Chapter 1. Barton Lacey, Dorset, August 1939. The wheezy noise made by the steam engine as it chugged out of the station was the saddest sound that Poppy had ever heard. She bit her lip, trying hard not to cry, as her last link with the East End of London and home disappeared into the hazy afternoon sunshine. The woman who'd been put in charge of the schoolchildren was not their teacher, and she had warned them before they boarded the train at Waterloo that she was not a person to be trifled with. They were to address her as Mrs. Hicks, and woe betide anyone who called her Miss, although miraculously no one had fallen into that trap during the journey, which had taken 3 long hours. Poppy could tell by their silence that the other children were also feeling tired, hungry and scared, as the formidable Mrs. Hicks herded them into a semblance of a crocodile while she performed a roll call on the station platform. She was a big woman, and the buttons on her blouse seemed to be in danger of flying off in all directions when her large bosom heaved with impatient sighs. Her tweed skirt was stretched tight across her bulging stomach, and when Bobby Moss had asked her if she had a baby in her tummy, he'd received a swift clip round the ear. That had quietened him down a bit, which was a relief to Poppy, as he'd been a pest throughout the long journey, pulling her hair and calling her silly names. But she had felt a bit sorry for him when she saw him huddled in the corner of the carriage, nursing his ear, sniffing and wiping his nose on his sleeve.
"Poppy Brown, stop daydreaming and follow the others outside into the forecourt, where the billeting officer will deal with you all as he sees fit."
Mrs. Hicks' stentorian voice echoed round the empty station as Poppy fell in step beside Bobby. They were marched through the station ticket hall to stand outside on the forecourt, labelled like parcels and carrying their meagre belongings in brown paper bags, together with that mysterious but compulsory object in a box, a gas mask. Some of the children were snivelling miserably, others hung their heads and stared at their boots, while a few of the bigger boys fought and scrapped like wolf cubs, attempting to establish a pecking order in their pack. Poppy wanted to cry like Colin, the ragged boy standing next to her, who'd wet his pants and was plainly terrified of being found out. She patted him on the shoulder.
"It's all right," she whispered. "I expect they'll take us somewhere nice and give us a slap-up tea."
She didn't believe that for one moment, but she wasn't going to admit to being scared stiff. She held her head high and stuck out her chin.
"Up gods and at 'em,"
was what Grandad always said, taking his pipe out of his mouth and spitting into the fire, as if to underline the importance of his words.
"Don't you let them country folk put one over on your pettle. If they does, I'll come down on the next train and give 'em a good seeing to. Chin up, Poppy. You come from a long line of brave soldiers, and don't forget it."
Poppy did not feel like a brave soldier, or a brave anything at that moment. Mrs. Hicks had vanished. Maybe she'd eaten one too many biscuits and exploded somewhere out of sight. But she'd been replaced by a man with a clipboard. He wore a pair of tortoise-shell-rimmed glasses, through which he peered at them like a myopic owl.
"I'm Mr. Walker," he announced, as if this was something they ought to know. "I'm the billeting officer, and I will find good homes to take care of you for the duration."
He turned to a small group of people who had gathered behind him. None of them looked particularly enthusiastic at the prospect of taking on youngsters from the East End, and the raggle-taggle line of children began to fragment, as some collapsed on the ground in tears, and several others were sick. Probably from fright, Poppy thought, as she eyed their prospective hosts, recalling Mum's last words to her as they had said a tearful goodbye outside the school gates at 5:30 that morning.
"Look at their shoes and their hats, Poppy. Good shoes and a nice hat will mean a clean home and no bedbugs or lice. You be a good girl. Wash behind your ears and say your prayers every night before you go to bed. Always remember that your Mum and Dad love your ducks, and so does Joe, although he ain't always the best at showing his feelings. That goes for your gran and granddad too. We'll all miss you, love."
Poppy said a small prayer now as she met the eyes of a tight-lipped little woman wearing a felt beret and a mean scowl.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?